And good morning. It is 9:27. I'm Jeff, and this is The People Speak here. A brand new week, almost a brand new month coming up. That starts tomorrow, but we've got Rhonda Wilson in here, and you're with NAMI today?
Yeah, Jeff. I'm with NAMI Southwestern Illinois. And we're out of the Metro East, Randolph County being the most southern county in their catchment area. So I work as an outreach specialist for them, and my job is to get out information and make people aware of the services that NAMI has, and also services in general in the county. My position is funded by the Randolph County Mental Health Board, and that's your tax dollars that's going to getting people connected with the resources that are out there. So I'm kind of having fun, actually.
All right. I'll tell you what. We got a break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in real quick, and we'll come back just briefly. What are we going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking about tardive dyskinesia today, Jeff. It's a program that is getting out the word about what it is and how to possibly identify it, give it a diagnosis, and reach out to your care provider to get assistance if that's happening with you.
All right, great. All right, we'll take that break. We'll come back. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. All right, welcome back. And again, we're talking today with Rhonda Wilson. And you talk with a term that, I mean, like I said, I've heard of it, but I'm not real familiar with it. TARDIS dyskinesia?
Tardive dyskinesia. Tardive
dyskinesia
is the word. Okay. And it is, so tardive dyskinesia is a side effect from psychotropic medication. Some people living with mental illness conditions may also experience this condition. It's a condition associated with taking antipsychotropic medications to treat bipolar disorder, depression, schizophrenia, or schizoaffective disorder. TD is characterized by uncontrollable, abnormal, and repetitive movements of the face, torso, and or other body parts. So basically, it's mainly the typical medications, which are the older psychotropic meds that people took years ago. Mm-hmm. The newer atypical, which is the newer antipsychotics that most people today take, do not usually cause the tardive dyskinesia the same way the older medications did. But a lot of the people who have been experiencing mental illness for a long time and have been on medicine for a long time, they are taking some of the older typical medications. So the goal of today is to just make people aware of tardive dyskinesia. And sometimes there may be symptoms they're having and they don't even realize that it's from their medication. So the goal is to just make people aware and talk about mental illness in general and then how tardive dyskinesia comes into play. 1 in 5 U.S. adults live with a mental illness, and about 600,000 people in the U.S. have been affected by tardive dyskinesia. So that's a lot, yeah. You know, and I think people don't realize how many people have issues with tardive dyskinesia. They decided to make an actual awareness week for tardive dyskinesia. It's the first week in May, which that's Mental Health Awareness Month. So it seemed like it naturally fit in that month to make people aware. So over the past 4 years, 48 states and Washington, D.C. have declared that Mental Health Awareness and Tardive Dyskinesia Awareness Week. And the goal is that tardive dyskinesia impacts people socially, emotionally, and physically. When they asked people and did a survey with people diagnosed or had suspected TD, what was the effect or the impact on their lives? And they 46% said it affected their ability to work, 53% their ability to sleep, and 35% their ability to drink. The place to go if you think you might have tardive dyskinesia symptoms, which we're going to talk about in just a second, is talkabouttd.com. So it'd be talkabouttd, that's a T and a D.com.
All be one word.
Correct. All in one place in order for people to find out information. So a person living with tardive dyskinesia whose name is Jeff, his comment for people is, I wanted people with tardive dyskinesia to know they're not alone. You can feel like an outcast sometimes when you have these symptoms, but there are 600,000 people in the U.S. with tardive dyskinesia. So again, awareness is big. You know, people don't know that they have it if they don't understand what the symptoms are. So I actually have a myth versus fact sheet that I'm going to kind of talk about and go over some of the information that's been put out by the tardive dyskinesia awareness people that I think would help people better understand what's going on. And then hopefully you're not having these issues, but if you are, It might give you some awareness. So the myth is TD movements only occur in the face and are always rapid and jerky in appearance. But the fact is specific TD movements may include the following and could affect the face, torso, and or other body parts. Movements may appear rapid and jerky and or slow and writhing. So in the mouth area, it causes lip smacking, puckering, or pursing. You'll see people, and you'll actually sometimes hear a lip smacking whenever they're having that disorder. Tongue darting or protrusion. You'll actually see the tongue leaving the surface of the mouth with them sticking out their tongue, and they have no control of it. And sometimes the tongue actually darts into the cheek. You'll see their tongue moving in their mouth from side to side. Excessive blinking, jaw chewing, clenching, or side-to-side movements, and you'll literally see the bottom part of their jaw moving from side to side, and twisting or dancing fingers and toes. And it's kind of hard to explain that part on the radio, but it's kind of like the little finger will lift up, and then the next fingers will lift up, and they'll almost like they're turning a doorknob, but there's no doorknob there, you know, and it's kind of like a writhing, twisting of the fingers and toes. The same thing with the toes. They'll do toe tapping, and you'll see their toes moving, and they have no control over those movements.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah, some of those things I've actually noticed myself do at different times, but I think it's
the combination.
It's
correct. And then it's also, if you haven't been on psychotropic medication, then it's not tardive dyskinesia, if that makes sense. It's a side effect of those. Not saying you can't have any of those side effects. They could be from something else, but it's the combination of multiple of those that usually gives you the indication that somebody is having those issues. And there's actually a list of medications that a psychiatrist, when they're prescribing these medications, they actually have to do an assessment before they start the medicine, and then ongoing every 6 months to make sure that there is no evidence of these side effects. So they're also looking for the side effects besides the individual.
Right.
So it's an ongoing monitoring system that's in place. There are no known specific risk factors for why people develop TD. That's the myth. The fact is the TD symptoms can start after taking antipsychotropic meds for a few months. In addition to taking mental health meds, the following factors may also play a role in the risk for TD. And they are having a mood disorder, such as depression or bipolar disorder, if you're over the age of 55, substance use disorder, and postmenopausal people can also have an increased risk for having tardive dyskinesia. Another myth, it takes a couple of years at least for tardive dyskinesia to develop. The fact is it may develop after a few months of taking certain types of mental health medicine, antipsychotics to treat bipolar disorder, depression, schizoaffective disorder, or schizophrenia. So again, it does for some people take years of being on the meds. You may not see it until they're at year 3, 5, 10, but for some people it happens right away.
Is it typically from those particular types of psychotropic medications?
Correct. Really? Like Haldol, those Melaril, the older meds that still are very effective. For some people, that's the meds that work best, so that's what they'll take.
Right.
Another myth is once you stop taking your mental health medicine, your TD symptoms will stop. The fact is it's a chronic condition that is often persistent and generally does not go away without treatment. So don't stop taking your medicine without talking to your healthcare provider. But if you see these, definitely make your healthcare provider aware. Sometimes the tardive dyskinesia is uncomfortable, and it's visible to other people. But sometimes the mental health disorder, the severity of that may actually be worse than the side effects of the tardive dyskinesia. So then it would be up to the practitioner and the client to work together to determine what's in their best interest. As far as do they decrease the meds? Do they try the newer meds? Or do they stay on it knowing that there's tardive dyskinesia? And then they can explore possible treatments. There are some meds out there that do sometimes help people that are having tardive dyskinesia. What's out there is kind of new. That's not what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm not a physician. I'm not the prescriber, so I won't talk about treatment modalities, just awareness to make people aware.
Is it a progressive issue? Or?
Yeah, tardive dyskinesia, it can get worse as it goes on. So, yes. Will it become debilitating? No, but the symptoms themselves can be. You know, if your right. tongue movement or the jaw movement is pretty severe, it may affect your ability to talk without having disruptions because of the jaw movement, that right. kind of thing. The blinking, it definitely would be annoying, if nothing else.
True.
Another myth is there's no FDA-approved treatment options for adults who live with TD. The fact is there are FDA-approved treatments for TD. If you or someone you know is experiencing symptoms, it's important to talk to the healthcare professional, again, about treatment options. So the goal is to just make people aware. And again, that's talkabouttd.com. A few more stats that I can throw out is that only 25% of the people who have currently have tardive dyskinesia are diagnosed. That means 75% of the people who have it are not. So there's still a large population out there who don't have a diagnosis, so therefore aren't addressing those issues that maybe need to be looked at by them and their doctor. So they're living with tardive dyskinesia and haven't diagnosed it. So that's part of why we're doing some of the awareness.
Okay. So, yeah, like I said, it's something I'd heard of, but I guess, you know, you hear about a lot of different things, but you really don't know too many details, especially if you're not, you know, affected or know someone who is affected by it.
Correct. So, yeah, I mean, in Illinois, there's more than 1.8 million people, or 19% of the adults in the state, who live with mental illness. So you have to think of that large of a number. How many of them may have tardive dyskinesia and don't know it?
Right.
And again, being aware is usually the first step that we look to have so that people can get the help they need.
Okay.
And that's pretty much the basis of the Tardive Dyskinesia Awareness Program. NAMI overtook that as a goal for this year, is to make people aware. And if it's okay, I could share some information about NAMI. I know I've been on before, but the people listening today may not be the people who have listened in the past.
All right. I'll tell you what, let's take our break real quick and we'll come back.
That sounds great.
And we'll talk about NAMI. You're listening to The People Speak here on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. And welcome back. Again, talking with Rhonda Wilson today. And been talking tardive dyskinesia. I think I got it right that
time. Yeah.
And also, you mentioned you work with NAMI, which is, I guess, kind of explain NAMI a little bit.
Yeah, I will. So what I've learned when I would go out and talk to people about mental health resources in the county, I would ask how many people know what NAMI is. And I can tell you there's crickets in the room and people just look at me. And that kind of amazes me because NAMI stands for National Alliance on Mental Illness. And it's basically, it's a grassroots organization that's national. They are very big. But I like to compare them to the American Diabetes Association. If you have diabetes and you want to learn more and you want to get the most cutting edge information, you would go to the ADA website and you would look up what's going on. What do I need to know to learn about your disorder? Well, to me, NAMI is the grassroots, or it's the organization for mental illness. If you want to learn about it and get education, you would go to the NAMISWI.org website. And they basically, they're people with lived experience and or the family members of people with lived experience. And this organization is free for their services. They do fundraise in order to support what they're doing. And they're supported actually by a lot of organizations and a lot of people who have a huge compassion for what this organization does. But they their goal is to have support groups for individuals and their family. And what I always say, it's kind of nice to be able to join a group that are individuals like you. So if you have a family member that is struggling and you don't really know what to do, nothing's more empowering than going to a group where there's people that also have family members who they have struggled with, but they've kind of come out the other end and they're doing well and they want to give back. And that's called Family Support Group. And it's a Zoom group and it's offered every Thursday. It's at 7 o'clock. There's different facilitator each week, but if you go on the NAMISWI.org, so it's NAMISWI.org, you can then find the links to go to these Zoom groups. So you could be in Southern Illinois and you might be zooming in with somebody from Granite City, but it doesn't really matter. And they don't like write down your name and keep track of who you are. It's kind of anonymous in the sense that you can just go and get support. They also have a group that's called NAMI Connections, and that's for the individuals with mental illness. Sometimes people who are newly diagnosed are overwhelmed. They maybe don't understand their disorder. And it's really good to be able to zoom in again to a group of individuals like you that didn't know what to do, didn't understand, were scared, or maybe struggling with their family and how to keep their job, or, you know, what does recovery look like for me? Everybody can recover, but sometimes you don't really feel that way if you're living it at the time. You know, if you've just been diagnosed with depression and you don't really know what to do, or an anxiety disorder, you know, how many of us didn't want to leave our house through COVID, you know, and we're afraid if we did, we could die. Well, not everybody took that experience and was like, okay, it's not so bad. I can get out of my house now. There's still people anxious to leave or not take off their mask because they're scared. The goal of the support group is to have people to go talk to that are or have experienced the same thing and are in a better place. They've reached recovery. They're now back to work. They're living a successful life for them, and they're ready to give back. So they lead a connections group, and that group meets every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. and it goes till 8:00. And again, it's via Zoom. So you just have to download the Zoom program onto your phone or your computer. That program is free. And then you just go and click on their link and you're there. It's kind of neat how to get into a Zoom call. They also meet on the first Saturday of every month in person up in Swansea, which for us, that may not be doable. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's nice to be able to meet with somebody in person.
True.
So besides the support group, NAMI actually has classes that you can take. A lot of people, when they're newly diagnosed, the family will say, I wish there was a place I could go to learn about this diagnosis or to better help my family member. And they have evidence-based classes, and it's each one's a little different, but they're based on the core curriculum that talks about mental illness, what's going on with it, coping techniques, and then resources that are out there. So the first one is NAMI Basics. And that's for parents and family members of children and adolescents. So some of the people that get told their child's on the spectrum disorder line, and they're like, oh, what does that mean? And some people who have ADHD, or maybe the child is very early but starting to experience symptoms of schizophrenia. You know, what do I do with that? How do I handle that as a parent? So that class is for the parents. There's one called Family to Family, and that's for family and friends of individuals with mental illness. And again, it's the same thing. How do I help my family? Mm-hmm. And then there's peer-to-peer and Homefront, which is the one that is for the veterans and their family. They actually have a webpage. It's called homefrontresources.nami.org. And that's basically an online source that talks about conditions, treatment options, approaches to increase overall wellness, tips for self-care and managing stress, communication strategies, transitioning from military to civilian life, links to helpful organizations and crisis services, and more. And what I would even say is that site could also be used for anybody.
Right.
You know, that when you're talking coping skills, disorders, anybody could get on that site, but just not pay attention to the veteran part.
Okay. All right. So, and as far as if someone's interested in maybe learning more about NAMI, where would they go?
To NAMISouthwesternIllinois.org. So it's NAMISWI.org. Is where you can get to the support groups. You can get to the education groups. You can learn more. You can join. I think it's $30 a year. And that $30 helps support all of these programs that they're doing. We're getting ready to do Ending the Silence in the Schools. And that's to just, the kids shouldn't suffer in silence.
Right.
And you're not alone, and how to reach out and get help. And we're basically going to do that in every high school in the county, thanks to a grant for the Regional Office of Education. So NAMI's pretty active and doing a lot. And I just hope people realize that it's there so they can reach out to get some help.
All right, great. Well, Rhonda, thanks for stopping in and talking us about it, and tardive dyskinesia, and about NAMI. So.
Well, thank you.
All right. Maybe we'll get you in again at some time. We'll talk more about it.
So. Sounds great.
All right. That'll wrap things up today. For The People Speak, I'm Jeff. Have a great day.